We've been having a lot of fun on this show, but it seems like even when a team on 35th and Shields has a three-game winning streak, they lose one. And it just when it seems like the Cubs are a few games above 500, they go and take on the NL East and come right back to reality. And we're here to break it all down here on the Sports Cubicle with the marvelous one, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Chivari, and myself, Mike Mercado. And Devin and Paulie got a lot of things to break down with not only what's going on with the White Sox, but all the craziness Jerry was saying to those commers. And we'll, as Bulls fans, we'll talk about that, you and I, Marver, maybe in a few weeks. But we'll let the boys over on the South Side handle that. I want to talk about, as of this recording, a bad week and a half for the Chicago Cubs. A team that had an awesome showing in the West Coast and then went out East and struggled. And before I throw it to you, Marver, it's been something you and I haven't really talked a lot about the Chicago Cubs in April. We really haven't. And I think for me, when I said in the beginning of in the season in our preview, I thought this team was going to win 82 games. And the one thing I mentioned is a team that wins 82 games, a team that's 500, usually means there's going to be a lot of frustrating moments. There's going to be a lot of lows. Marvelous. That is what we're seeing so much so that Matt Mervis is coming up, the master himself, and it's only a matter of time until Christopher Morel comes up. So, Marver, I'll let you have it. What's going on in Clark and Addison? What's going on with this team and the North Side, the good, the bad, the ugly, and now the future? What are your thoughts of the last few weeks of Cubs baseball?
Well, obviously, when they went to the West Coast and then they played LA and San Diego here at home, they were looking pretty sharp. Even the national commentators were talking about the additions, give them, playoff hopes and that kind of thing. And really, I mean, when you look at their rotation, Steele has been elite. So, and then Stroman was doing okay, and Smiley, and then Wesnecki, and then, of course, Taillon has been hurt. So they've had to fill in with a spot starter in that spot. But they're really getting good starting pitching. They're getting quality starts for a while there. And even in these games that they've been losing 4-3, low scoring games, they really haven't been, having been blown out in the games they've lost. So the pitching has been pretty good. And obviously there's been a lot of good coming from the new guys. There's no question about it. I mean, they it looks like their lineup is pretty formidable. Horner has been on base, like every game, almost every game this year. And so that's been very hopeful. And of course, they're looking, the lineup, seems to be pretty solid with Happ out and left. They sort of fiddling around with third base and first base a little bit. But that double play combination of Swanson and Horner looks solid. So I don't know. It's, and they have Suzuki and Wright. He's back. He was not healthy at the beginning of the year. But the guy that seems to be really doing a great job is our center fielder. The ex-Dodger was an MVP, and now he homered in LA, and he's been he's been pretty solid defensively. He looks smooth in the outfield and pretty comfortable at bat. So they may want to keep him. It looked like maybe he was a rental player, but it looks like that might be something we'll want to do to solidify that. So I mean the roster itself, they have Mancini that can DH or whatever, and they've got some other people that can fill in at different spots. And Wisdom can play a number of positions, which I didn't even think he could, but he's done that pretty successfully. And so, as it turns out, it looks to me as though there's pretty, they make good contact. That was one of the things they talked about, that the Cubs players in the past weren't making consistent contact, and I think they're doing a good job of that now. And as it turns out, they just have had sort of an offensive lull in the last 10 days. No question about that. So it looks to me as though that, again, I talk about it. It's hard to say these divisional races because you hardly play your divisional opponents at all. So it's just funny the way it's worked out. And so, I mean, they're going to say St. Louis for the first time, and which is remarkable, in the next couple of weeks. And they just haven't played those teams, and you're used to them playing them quite frequently, and you're going to notice a real paucity of games against the teams from the division. So each of those games becomes, as we've talked about, more important because there's so few of them. If because there's still divisional races, and in Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh's been playing well, So maybe this formula is better for Pittsburgh than the old formula because they've been doing pretty good. But as it's turned out, the team looks better than the team they had last year. They did finish well, and I think they've got pretty good additions so far to the roster and the pitching. I mean, they've tried to get Boxberger as a closer, and they were just Fulmer didn't work out so well. And they're still fiddling a little bit with the bullpen, but it looks like they have the pieces to be successful. I mean, I'd say they win the division, but I still think that they're a decent opportunity for a playoff team. We'll just, we'll see this lull that they hit in Miami. I mean, it was a one run game every game. And Miami has been like 9 or 10-0 in one run games this year. It was just incredible that they weren't able to come through there. And even the Washington games, I mean, there wasn't any game where a team even scored more than like 5 runs in that whole series. It's been low scoring. And you really notice the difference, I think, in the speed of the game with the new pitch clock thing. And there's no pitcher scratching his you know what anymore. It's a catch it and throw it. So I think that's been a good thing. I'm not too, not too crazy about the lack of a shifting. I don't think that was necessary, but okay, so it's been done, and so that's the way it is. But the other weird thing to me is I guess the pitcher throws twice to second base, and the guy can take as long a lead as he wants after that because he can't throw a third
Can't
time,
throw back, yeah.
which is crazy to me because why doesn't he just start walking down to second base? So I don't know. That one baffles me a little bit too. But the pitch clock seems to be okay. I think a little bit short. I mean, I think maybe they need to add like 10 seconds there because sometimes it looks like the batter steps out of the box. Then what do? They add time? I'm not really sure what happens then. Does the clock keep running? So maybe you know the answer to that, but it seems like they would jip the pitcher out if the batter is the one that's delaying. Then will they call a strike at some point? Maybe you can help me with that.
I think for the most part, I mean, really fast on the rule change, especially the pitch clock. I think from like reports and whatnot, it seems like the players have really already kind of just picked it up. You know, it's already been kind of like second nature for them. I think the hardest for the rules change has been for fans because fans are so used to, oh, cool, it's the third inning. We still have 2 hours of baseball. It's like, no, you have about 1 hour and 5 minutes left. Like, it's going to fly by. Breaking down this actual Cubs team. Interesting you bring up Justin Steele, ace of this team so far. Interesting to see what's going to happen with Wisniewski. Fascinating Cody Bellinger coming back to life because I'm sorry, Cubs fans. It doesn't matter if you're going to win the NL Central or you're the worst team in the NL Central. He is gone come trade deadline because this team is not paying for that man. So all we can hope for as Cubs fans is that he has the season he's having, that he's smashing the ball, that he's Cody Bellinger of meme fame and World Series accolades and the MVP of the league because that means you're getting a huge package back. But I promise you this, not with that farm system that this team has, are they going to pay this guy? This is the definition of we're going to flip a player, but might as well use him and enjoy it. Mutual for both sides. He gets paid a lot of money. He gets to play in a big market and you get to flip him to probably a World Series contender. That's where you're probably going to get your huge bullpen arm, your huge arm for the future, your next piece. Because the real question about this Cubs team, are they 2014 Cubs, 2015 Cubs? Because either way, you know you're on the cusp. But are you the team that on the second half of 2015 made a playoff run? Or are you the team in 2014 where like, okay, like they're right there. I think this team is closer to that 2015 because of the offseason they had, because of the Marcus Stroman effect, the Swanson effect, they're there. They have guys. They're ready for a push. The real question becomes, what is Tom Ricketts going to do? What is he going to let Hawkins and Jed do? But I'm with you. As crazy as the league has become in all the rule changes, the adjustments we've made, the one thing has been kind of true. We have assessed this Cubs team as a potential 500, as good as a division winner, as bad as a few games under 500. And that's exactly as they've played because 500 teams lose one-run ball games. They blow games in the ninth inning. World Series championship contending teams win those games. They're not there yet. But this is a lot better than a team that won 64 games a few years ago. Marvelous, before we let you go, Any final thoughts on our favorite team with the blue pinstripes over at the north side of Chicago at beautiful Wrigley Field?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you look at the Dodgers, and they do lose Bellinger, but then all of a sudden, there's out of nowhere, there's a kid named Outman, who's playing outstanding in center field. So we're hoping that a Mervis or a Crow Armstrong will do the same for us, and then that would be a real boon to the team if the farm system, which was the whole plan, that they got all these people for Bryant and Baez and and whatnot and Rizzo and they thought that they'd be able to develop these young players into something special. So even they got a bunch of pitchers out of they had a Canario, and they got they got bombed this week, that came up. So it's hard to say, but if they can get some farm system relief, that would be very helpful for the future, because it can't all be done through free agency. You need to get some from the farm system too, I think. I think they filled a lot of good holes. I mean, I was questioning the Swanson thing with Horner being such a good shortstop, but he covers second base, particularly with the new rules where you can't do with shifting. He does very well at second base, so that's been a big bonus. And it looks like they're set at all the other positions. Like I say, third base is a little funky, and Wisdom is homering like he's among the best. And if you go from May of last year to May of this year, he's right up there with the best players in home runs. So he's been pretty solid. So the team needs to get a little bit better offense, I think, because that's where these games where they were scoring 1, 2, 3 runs, that's not going to cut it. So they've left a lot of men on base too. And they've had some bullpen woes too, where they didn't quite, the middle relief wasn't that good. So they need to find the answers in those spots and hit the ball better with men in scoring position.
And just for all you Cub fans up there, if you're looking for that last big news, Matt Mervis will be called up for the Chicago Cubs as of this recording. He was hitting 286, 402, and a 560 slash with 6 home runs and 24 games at AAA. Basically, big power prospect, which this team has needed. The top of the lineup has cooled off. The bottom of the lineup was kind of carrying this team for a little while in April. It has cooled off. So to have an actual smasher, a masher with a team that makes a lot of contact would be good for this team. It would be interesting if Trey Mancini or Eric Hosmer find a phantom injury and end up in the IL. We want to know your thoughts, because we know that you listen to us here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, myself, Mike Mercado, and you love watching Cubs and White Sox baseball as you drift on to sleep. So do it in style. Do it in comfort. Do it the way the Marvelous One does it. Do it the way I do it. Do it the way millions and millions of people do it, with a eucalyptus cheating and batting and matting and all the goodness, by going to sheetsandgiggles.com and using the promo code THESPORTSCUBICLE, sports for the couch, for 15% off your purchase. That's Sheets and Giggles, the Sports Cubicle, sports from the couch. For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, for Devin Tingle, for Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.